So we're talking about Jesus as friend, and we are in our wonderful I Am series. We're asking the question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And we're actually asking the gospel writers, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you think he is, and who do you want us to know that he is? And so as we've been going through this conversation for the last several weeks, we've been asking the question, who do you say that Jesus is? And we've talked about how he's the son of David and how he is Messiah and how he's also the son of Abraham and also the son of Adam. And we've talked about how he is like Elijah and Elisha, like a prophet, how he's like Moses. And we've been going through all of this. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus is friend to us. Our text this afternoon is going to come from John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples towards the end of his earthly ministry. He is in the upper room and he is hanging out before his arrest at Passover by the Romans. And as he's speaking to his disciples, he has this beautiful, wonderful, long sort of sermon that he's sharing with them. And he says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because a servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Friends, I think what we just want to hang out with for a few minutes is that Jesus calls us friend. That the person that we believe is like the creator of the universe, that pre-existed before all time, one with the Father in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all of the amazing, awesome cosmic power, that Jesus is calling you and me, calling us friend. And I don't know if we can kind of wrap our heads around it, because I think some of us have had grown up maybe like with buddy Jesus, yeah? So we've had Jesus sort of, we just leave him in the friend zone all the time. Buddy Jesus is like pocket Jesus. He's a tchotchke. He sits on my shelf and he just helps me out when I need him because, you know, we're friends, we're buddies. It's cool. Maybe we've forgotten that Jesus is also God, and it somehow diminishes in my mind the belief, the understanding, the awareness, the kind of sort of magnitude where God is saying to you and to me, we are friends. That's an amazing thing. Now, a lot of people with Buddy Jesus and then various different songs have tried over the years to sort of explain all of the very wonderful
Jesus
things.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend.
It's jamming, right? It's going to be stuck in your head for the whole rest of the day.
My life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me.
These guys were rocking in their day.
I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend.
Now this is wonderful. I know you all were groupies of that band way back in the day, and you have their t-shirts and albums and all of that. For those of you who were at the campfire hangout and backyard spark overnight in the backyard last night, we camped in the backyard last night. We had a great time, and we introduced this song, which is also what I think of. And I really like this song, actually. It's a little bit step up from the boogie you just heard. And so Kevin's going to help lead us in this song, and I'll do some hand motions over here, because why not? That's just where we're at this weekend. It's a give you, if you missed the campfire hangout, this is what we did. Yeah?
I've got a friend. Ain't nobody like him. I've got a friend.
It's going to go like this.
Ain't nobody like him. I've got a friend.
Ain't nobody like him.
I've got a friend. Nobody like him, Jesus, he's my friend.
Now you can lean up against. against a friend, right? Make a little. Hey, come on, Kendra. Kendra, can I call you? Will you help me with the motion?
You said this was a step up from Sunseed. Yes. This is a step up from this.
Ooh.
Okay, nobody. Do me like Jesus. Say, can't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Say, can't nobody. Do me like Jesus. He's my prayer.
Yeah, you guys should go on tour with that. That's awesome. Thank you, Fanny. And thank you, Kendra. Kendra is my friend, which is why she comes and sings and dances with me on request. So thank you, my sister. Okay. Just for fun, let me just note, what I love about that song is it does talk about how Jesus is our friend, but also, he's also more than a friend. He's also our maker and savior. And in him, I'm satisfied. This is such a great song. It's by, what's the guy's name?
Reggie Coates.
Reggie Coates. I was going to say Randy, and I was like, I knew that's not right. So for those of you that don't know, in 1997, Kevin and I met. In 98, we were married. But in that very short time between 97 and 98, we were in a band. And it lasted a little longer than that, actually. But we have a CD. I know. It was called One by One. And we did spell it W-O-N by O-N-E because it was the 90s. And we were real into Jesus. And so we would travel all around the whole like Northern California camp circuit, and we were the band for our college, which was San Jose Christian College, is now William Jessup University. We even like head up to Oregon. It was, the van was called the Droopy D Dodge because the D was just barely hanging on, and you could see the road underneath through the floorboards of the van as we drove the school van around and played these songs. And then when I ended up getting hired on at Abundant Life as their children's pastor and executive pastor, then I had the privilege of singing that song with friends like Kendra and Mark and Junior and Marcus and so many of us together. And it's been fun even then last night here at Spark around a campfire singing that song again. And what I love about it, it's silly and it's fun, but it's so much joy. And I don't know about you, but I could use some joy. And I'm feeling like joy is a discipline. And the fact that Jesus is my friend and calls me friend, calls us friends, that gives me great joy. So I just want to let you know, we at Spark, we're real good at lamentation, but tonight we're going to lean into joy. Okay? All right. So Jesus is a friend, and Jesus is a friend to all. And I know every time I hear Jesus' friend, I still have that other song stuck in my head, so I apologize for that. But Jesus, if he were around today, would have, oh, I don't know, over 100 billion friend requests, because Jesus is friends with everybody. And as Kevin was putting this together, we were hanging out and chatting about it, he's like, how many people are alive today? And I'm like, but it's not just today, it's like all of human history. How many of humans have been around? Like, those are the number of friends requests. Jesus is friends with all. But of course, not everybody, you know, answers that friend request. That's why he's waiting. And so here we are in Matthew chapter 11, 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist. Now he's talking about himself. And they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was friends with everybody. And that was actually the accusation. Like, how dare you continue to become friends with even people like this? So if you thought that maybe he hadn't friended you, I just want to let you know, that was the accusation. By the way, the accusation isn't you're not keeping Torah or you're keeping Torah too much. The accusation isn't you're hanging out with women and women should never be hung out with. The accusation is glutton, drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus knew how to party and he knew how to hang out with other people that did too. And these were people that Jesus called friends. And from this word, we have philos in the Greek, right? Philadelphia and what is that? Kevin, you put a steak up there, filet mignon. That's hilarious. Philharmonic, philanthropy, philosophy, and then Phil Vischer, of course.
That is a joke.
Thanks. Good. You didn't misspell that. It was a good joke. Okay, good. Kevin helped me with this slide, obviously. Very, very fun. And when we talk about friend comes from all these roots and all of this beautiful aspect, we'd like to encourage maybe some of us in this room, maybe over the last few years, you have maybe ignored Facebook and moved on to the much more, very cool Instagram. But we'd like you to unblock Jesus as friend. Okay, maybe you thought, no, but I think that's white supremacy, Jesus. For sure. Block the white supremacy. Block the nationalism. Thank you. That should be blocked. But you don't have to throw the Jesus out with the bathwater. Baby Jesus doesn't have to go. You can friend Jesus too. Now, in Hebrew, the concept of friend is haver or haverim. And this was used for just a friend, haver, havera. Today, it's used even for like boyfriend, girlfriend. But in that day, a group of friends, a haverim, actually was about a group of people that were focused together, that were working on together observing the commandments. They were called a havura. And so when Jesus then is saying to, and he's being accused of, hanging out with tax collectors and sinners, and he's being accused of being a drunkard and a glutton and all of that, he's hanging out with people and trying to pull them into a havura, have them be part of a friend group. He's accused of this, but he's pulling them in, not because he's making light of sin. He's not saying, I think it's great the way you're living. Notice they're not suggesting Jesus as a tax collector or sinner. But he's trying to bring everyone into the havara, into the friend group, into the kingdom of God, that all truly might be part of that community together, working together to follow God's commands, to be in community with one another. When Jesus calls us friends, and when he brings all of us collectively into that group, it's not just that we are only friends with Jesus, although that is very good news. It's also that we are now friends with one another. And we're part of this beautiful group, this beautiful havura, a collection of friends working together to try to seek the way of Jesus in this world. And in these passages, Jesus will then start to tell those young disciples and all the others following too, greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for their friends. That we are called into a community of sacrifice. We're called into a community of self-sacrifice, of sacrifice for others. We're called to lay down our lives for one another. And when Jesus calls us friend, he's not just saying we're buddies and isn't that cool. He's also saying we are now collectively community, as a community together, part of this beautiful discipleship work and effort. Now, some of you guys might say today, making friends is very hard, right? The Surgeon General just this last year talked about the horrible, sort of pandemic of loneliness, how social media has made us less connected than ever before, how so many of us have difficulty finding really good, true friendships. And we look at this and we say, well, that's nice, Jesus, for you and the disciples and all of the others following, but what about me? And maybe you're saying that the biggest miracle Jesus ever pulled off was having 12 close friends in his 30s, right? Like that's the miracle that happened. And, no worry about walking on water, just 12 good close friends. He actually had many more than that as well. The Bible uses this picture of friend, not just for Jesus and the disciples, not just for that community, but the Bible actually tells us that Abraham was called friend of God. He's the first person referred to as a friend. James talks about this in James chapter 2 in the New Testament. He says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and by works faith was brought to completion. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. James is making this larger argument. But I love this conversation about friend of God. And we were looking at, where does that happen? What are the rabbinic conversations about that? And it's from Isaiah, right? We're just like that Abraham's referred to as a friend of God. Not just that God is our friend, but that we could be God's friend too. That's quite a flip, isn't it? Now, this framing a friend of, is also known in Jesus' day. And you could be known as a friend of Rome, or in this case, for the book of James, and for Jesus as a friend of God. John chapter 19 tells the story of Jesus before Pilate at the crucifixion and the sort of mock trial that's happening. And people are angry and they're trying to convince Pilate to crucify him. And the Judeans shout, "If you set this man free, Pilate, it means you're not a friend of the emperor, a friend of Caesar." And everyone who claims to be a king is opposing the emperor. And this guy, Jesus, he's claiming to be king. He's claiming that. So he cannot be a friend of Rome. He cannot be a friend of Caesar. People in the crowd knew what that term meant. And in fact, as we look a little bit, friend of the emperor was a technical term that was sometimes used as a title of honor for provincial governors. And here, in this case, with Pilate, it's used as a sign of loyalty. Whose friend will you be? Who will you follow after? Whose allegiance do you hold to? And this crowd that's pressuring Pilate's like, listen, if you want to be a friend of Rome, you cannot be a friend of Jesus. Those two things don't go together. So oftentimes we'll find together today that friendship with Jesus means that we don't find friendship in this world. And sometimes that can feel very lonely. It can feel like we don't fit in. It can feel like we're weird or outliers. It can feel like there's pressure to do the Rome thing, to find allegiance with the nationalism or whatever else that might be in our super, or it could just be with the ways of the world, right? In James chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, he talks about you ask and do not receive. He's talking about this whole big, go read the letter of James. It's amazing. Because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Does the spirit that God caused to dwell in us desire envy? And then James continues to go on. That our behavior, if we call ourselves a friend of God, if we are true friends of Jesus, and this is what Jesus says in John 15 as well. If you follow me, if you love me, you will follow my commands. That the way in which we show our friendship and our love to God, to the community that we are called to, is to then follow the ways of God and not the ways of the world. I know that's not really popular. You guys, we all want to just pretend like everything's okay and it's, you know, everything's fine and we're in this neighborhood in California and everything's, but the Bible doesn't say that. And Jesus doesn't say it, and Paul doesn't say it, and James doesn't say it, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that, that you can just behave any old way and still say, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of Jesus. In fact, the Bible says, if you're going with the way of the world, then you are friends with the world, or a friend of Rome. But the good news is that even as many of us maybe have found ourselves in a variety of difficult circumstances with tough choices where we have even perhaps used that word that we don't often use at Spark, that big sin word, where we're like, I'm pretty sure I'd call this sin in my, ex-evangelical, pre-post-vent, whatever it is, life that you're in now. The word sin would have been used for this. The good news is that Jesus calls us friend even when we are betraying him. In Matthew 26, verse 50, it refers Judas has come with Rome to arrest Jesus in the garden. And Jesus says to him, friend, do what you're here to do. Still calls him friend, even in that moment of betrayal. Friend, do what you are here to do. And then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. A lot of us, I think, maybe we were encouraged early days in our Christian life to make Jesus our choice so that we could have some beautiful, good thing happen. Mainly the golden ticket in the sky, right? Sorry, sinners. Jesus is my friend with benefits and the benefits to get into heaven. So now I'm all set. And that's all I'm doing. I have made Jesus my choice so that I can have this golden ticket to this heavenly amusement park into the sky. I've made Jesus my choice because he died for me. And it almost feels transactional. But I really want us to remember the story of the woman who anointed Jesus with oil. She does so simply because she loves him. She doesn't know that Jesus is going to go and lay down his life and die on the cross for her sins and mine. She doesn't know that she should be worshiping him because he's going to do something for her. It's not transactional at all. She simply loves him. She pours out all that she has because of this relationship that she has with Jesus. Because she has been called to a community, a group of friends, a havara, a group of havarim who are together trying to seek and to follow Jesus, because Jesus has called people like her, people like you and me, friend. And she can't help but pour out her deep gratitude for the relationship that she's in. Not because of, not to get into, not to be, not to avoid hell, not to get into heaven, not because of the blood, but just because of who he is. And I truly believe that when we today get to say, Jesus is my friend, that we say that in the context of all of the other things we've talked about, that he is son of Abraham, that he is a healer, a miracle worker, that he's like Moses, he's the prophet we've been waiting for, he is a teacher, a Messiah, the son of David, the son of God, the son of Adam, and he, in the midst of all of this, is also friend. Friend to you, friend to me. Calling us to a community with one another, where we get to be together. My daughter and I were having this lovely conversation in the car on our way over, and we were speaking highly of somebody here at Spark. And I said, oh, you know, this person is doing this beautiful work. And she said, I really like that person. I said, yeah, me too. I really like that person. Said, isn't it cool that every Sunday we get to come here and have like a party, a beautiful worship, joy, celebration where we get to be here with all our friends. And she said, yeah, and they're all so nice. It's like, yeah, they are all so nice. They're nice and they're loving. And it was reminding me that it's not just I am a friend of Jesus. It's all y'all, all of us together get to be these friends with Jesus. And together then we create this beautiful community that is working hand in hand to bring just a little bit more heaven here on earth. And I love that Jesus calls us friend, not servant, friend. He's saying, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I call you friends. I call you havarim. It reminds me of the beginning of our story when we walk in the garden. You remember that it says that God is walking in the cool of the evening, right? As it's God's habit to do. And God is doing this when the Adam and the Eve are hiding because of their sin. And God has enough compassion and desire to be in relationship with all humanity that God simply says, where are you? It's in the garden that we could walk in the cool of the evening with the maker of all, where the relationship between God and humanity and between God and creation and between humans' relationship with creation and one another, when it was all at shalom, at peace. And even in this moment where Adam and Eve have sinned and they have fallen short, they have disobeyed God's command and they've lost their childlikeness and they're hiding and trying to cover up their shame, God still comes and says, where are you? I'm hopeful that for many of us who maybe we did and have found ourselves tossing out Jesus with the bathwater. My hope is that we might hear him and just listen in for his voice this week asking us, where are you? Whose friend are you? Because Jesus is your friend. Jesus is my friend. He is our friend. And to have the creator of all say, I long to be in relationship with you. And from the very moment when things went sideways in the garden, God has been in pursuit of writing that relationship where God could walk with us in the garden again. And then at the end of the Gospel of John, the tomb is empty, the disciples are confused, people are afraid, and Mary shows up wanting to take care of the body of Jesus. And she sees Jesus, but she does not recognize him, thinking he was the gardener. It says in the Gospel of John, she says, please tell me, where have you laid my Lord that I might take his body? And he turns to her and says, Miriam, Mary. And do you remember her response? Rabboni, my Rabbi, my friend. Who do we say that he is? We can say Lord, Savior, Maker, Redeemer, King, Creator, Shepherd, Prophet. Like Moses, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Adam, the son of God. We can say all of this. And Sparkers, I want you to also know that with all of that, you can also say, and friend. And that call then extends to all of us into this community. Every Sunday, as we gather together, we gather with friends around a table. We commune together. We commune with Jesus. We are invited to a table where he is present. This is not our table. This is not our bread. This is not our juice. It is not our body. It is not our blood. It is his. And he bids all to come. For in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread, blessed, and broke it, giving it to his disciples, his friends, saying, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Friends, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, all are welcome at this table. All are welcome. We are all his friends. Come and eat.